Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everybody, welcome back to The Shift. Thank you guys so much, as always, for listening and supporting. I think my voice is a little off for this intro because, I don't know, I think I'm a little sick or, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I'm sick or it's just the aircon in America. Because like, you'd literally wake up with a sore throat after the aircon. So, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I feel like my voice sounds a bit off for this intro, but I am excited to introduce this episode. It's a little bit on the longer side because, of course, it's two Irish girls chatting. Irish girls, you know, we can chat for Ireland, but it's really fun. And of course, when you get the two of us together, we're gonna talk loads. So I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this episode. And as well, our guest. So, well, firstly, her name is Ruth Brady. OK, and so her family own Cool Swan, which is like a premium Irish cream liqueur. I hope I'm saying that right. Liqueur. Because I'm reading that now and I don't know. I'm like, as someone who's worked in the bar, who had worked in the bar world for 15 years, I was always very insecure about how I was pronouncing that word. But you know me, I'm like audibly dyslexic and words are hard for me. So, but brilliant guest, you know, she works for her family and she travels around promoting Cool Swan and going to bars and organize events and, you know, on all the marketing, everything. So her parents obviously own the company. And so she talks about what it's like to work for your parents and to be a part of a family business and the boundaries between like your mother being your boss, but then being your mother. Like, where do you draw that line? And like, how do you talk to each other? What, like, when is it boss mam versus mam? And yeah, and then we also talked a bit about like obviously dating, and Ruth is Gen Z as well, so it's really fun to talk to someone who's, you know, Irish and younger and coming over to New York and doing their thing. So very inspirational. I love Gen Z. I'm just gonna say it, such a like a generation that's gonna save the world. Very confident, lovely to chat to her. And God, you know, wouldn't have thought she was 21 when she said it. So really cool, like really inspirational, doing great stuff. And make sure to follow her and obviously follow Cool Swan as well. And what else? Oh, she also talked about Irish dancing as well, so that was a lot of fun as well. So that's towards the end of the episode and her experiences with that. But if you want to see the video for this, it is on the Patreon. I'm going to reach out to someone about potentially working on like an Instagram for The Shift and clips. And you know, I had been putting the videos on YouTube and then I kind of stopped for a while. So I'm thinking about trying to bang up a few more of them there but keep it like a month early on the Patreon for the videos. And obviously the full videos are always there too. So yeah, that's up now on Patreon. I just put that up there. So Patreon.com/TheShiftFog. Jesus. I mean, it's been how many years, lads? How many years and I still struggle on /TheShiftPodcast. It's just too many S's for me. Yeah, it's a pay what you want as well, which that I might change. I've been saying this for years, but I might change to a theer level. And I put up a solo podcast last week, which one of the listeners said that I was very warrior in. So I think that's what they said. Let me go back and read. No, sorry, Viking spirit. So yeah, if you want to go listen to that, I just talk about kind of like working in a male dominated field. And yeah, and then I always talk about what I'm watching, movies, shows, because I have the cinema pass over here, so I go to cinema. I love the cinema and I love movies and love TV shows, so I'm always talking about that as well. So that's up there in the solo episodes. And lastly but not least, if you are stateside, West Coast, please, Jesus Christ, go to the shows Arizona and San Diego. It's far, like, to go over there as well, so I sometimes, like, anyway, I'm nervous with flying over to the West Coast, because from the West Coast then I fly to New York and then fly back to Ireland within the space of like 24 hours, and the flights have been a bit crazy over in America, so I'm a little nervous. It's going to be like a big long haul of traveling, but hopefully you guys can come out to the shows and it'll be so much good crack. I just did DC and honestly was really happy. Like, thank you to everybody who came out. It was a great turnout and just such a brilliant audience. I ended up doing way more time than I was supposed to because I was having so much fun. So yeah, so thank you. And please, if you're based in Chandler, Arizona, I have no confidence saying any American place names, but Chandler, Arizona, I think. That's on the 24th, so we fly in, we do that, and obviously I'm co-headlining with Tori Piskin, and you guys have heard her on the podcast, she's brilliant. So and Leland is going to host the show as well, so look, fucking A-team. And then San Diego, we have the 28th, and they're both at this place called Mic Drop Comedy. So yeah, if you know anybody in San Diego, let them know. I should really like hit up some Irish network, because I did that for DC and they're really nice and got back to me, so shout out to Irish network in DC and shout out to Irish network in NYC, because they're always brilliant and will always be like, oh yeah, if you want to tag us, post away. So just yeah, that's, it's a really nice like resource to have, and that they support Irish people. So yeah, even if you know any, god, if you know any San Diego or Arizona Irish networks, let me know. And then really excited, this is the big one, to be back in Ireland. I'll be doing a new show. So if you came out in January, it's a completely new show that I've been working on. And I would love you guys to come out. And, you know, it's Cork, the Comedy Cavern, and then Dublin. So we're sorry, Dublin is first. Dublin's the sixth. Or Jesus Christ, Dublin's the fifth. And that is In Stitches Comedy. So In Stitches Comedy, you can check them out on Instagram, or I have the link in my bio, and I have the link here in the description as well. It's just a link tree, and then you can go down, it'll say like where and you can go from there. But that's in Dublin on the 5th, and then on the 6th we go to Cork, and that'll be the Comedy Cavern. So really looking, I'm really excited to headline Cork, because Cork was the first city I ever did comedy in Ireland. So I've probably already said this to you guys, but that'd be really nice. So it feels like a nice kind of like, like a goal, you know, like, oh, it's nice to come back and headline. And that was actually, I got to do a spot on Damien Clark's show and he was headlining. And then it was nice last year, I went and did his club. And it was nice then to go and like headline his club, like, again. So it's these nice, like, what's that word, like circling, or I don't know, there is a way of saying that, I can't think of it now, but yeah. So this year in Dublin though, I'm doing a different club, because I'd already done Whelan's, I'd already done Crack Den, so I'm gonna do In Stitches, and I thought that'd be kind of nice to like try a different club. So I'm really excited. So it's new hour. And then lastly if you are based in New York, I'll get the ticket link up soon as well for the Irish show. So for the next few months, we've got some amazing Irish comedians flying out, so that we'll be able to fly out to do the show. So thank you to Tullamore, however it's pronounced. I feel like it's pronounced differently here versus home, but for next month, actually October 17th, is going to be Justine Stafford. So she's coming out. So great, really excited. Then Damien Clark is flying out for November, Ger Staunton for December, and a couple of other great people as well for next year as well. So that's with the Dead Rabbit. For October, it's exciting as well, because Johnny Candon just happens to be in New York, so he's also going to do the show. So a very Irish heavy show on October. But yeah, so make sure to keep an eye out for that. But other than that, I love you all and enjoy this episode, and I'll I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Shift. Today's a really great... Today's a really great guest. I don't know how to say great, but it's Ruth Brady, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, I had to look Brady up your last name today because they sent me the tickets for you and I was asleep. Oh, they were asking for your email and then they were asking for your name. And I woke up half asleep being like, I know it's Ruth, but can I
what's
say
her last
can
name?
Can I say Ruth Cool Swan?
Oh my God, yeah. I have
I
such
it up
a
on the email.
An yeah. email. Okay, love. Well, I had a guy. So I had just a funny story about like a, well, I say funny story, about a stalker that I acquired.
That is the most Irish sentence. Yeah, it was really hilarious. I mean, he got murdered.
Oh my God, story of my life. But this is how I've been playing it up at Ireland. I've been like, oh yeah, a really funny story. But this guy basically who I like met in a liquor store, who when I went back to the liquor store, he was there again. Because as we're going to get into, I work in the drinks industry. Anyway, we'll get into that. But he was like... He was like, oh, well, I knew your first name was Ruth, but like I had to look up the company and your mom and stuff. And then I found your last name and I was like, oh, my God.
Wait, I'm confused. He was just standing outside and he was like.
No, he was like, he's just like in this like liquor store. He like must be from the area or something. And I had been in talking about like the brand. And then he
was like, oh, I'm going to do some serious digging.
He literally did some serious digging. But not only that, then he was like, oh, yeah, I saw you were in. And then like listed like places I had been in New York. And I was like.
No, that's terrifying.
Slightly terrifying, but I'm here to tell the tale, so we're fine.
He's like a girl's WhatsApp group, you know, and you're like, oh, I saw this guy 6'7". He goes to my local liquor store and they're like, we're on it.
No, 100%. No, I live with like Irish sailors now. So I just like said to some of them and they were like, don't worry. It was like, perfect. We're good.
I mean, I remember hearing a story of like back in the day of this woman had met this guy, but then they were abroad when they met and then they went home and she hadn't gotten his information, but she like knew where his family worked. So her mother like went on a deep dive, found the family business, called them and was like, if your son is interested. But anyway, they got married. This was like back like long, long time ago. Yeah, they got married.
Oh my God,
and they
sorry.
Were together forever.
Okay, I love that story. I'm not going to marry my like creepy liquor store guy, but I do.
This is why I dated so many crazies, because of stories like that. I'm like, well, he is tying me up in his basement, but like true love.
Yeah, you're like, but I heard this one story where it did work. Yeah. So like, I'm going to give it a go.
He just really loves me.
That's how they express it in America. It's just different to Ireland. That's it.
Yeah. In Ireland, it's you don't know for years if they even like it.
Sorry. Well, so. I actually had a conversation with an Irish boy the other day because I was like, I feel like in the States as well, Irish girls just want to get with Irish guys because like I feel like American boys are so different.
Yeah.
But Irish boys self-admittedly like want nothing to do with Irish girls when they're over here. So it's just a bad.
It's a weird thing because it's like I think I don't know what the right word is for it, but they get really stunning American girls and American girls let them away with their bullshit because of the accent.
Yes.
Whereas they can't fool us. And then they're kind of like. Seeing any other woman that's not Irish as different, or it's just 100%. So it's so shitty as well because you're like, well, we're coming with the same band level,
yeah,
we're coming with the same crack, which I realize I just said the same thing twice. They're really important.
You adjusted it to the British and then the Irish, the banter, crack. It was, we got it.
Hitting all the levels. There's not a word for it in America, by the way.
Fun. Good old time.
And you're coming with the same culture. So like, you don't even realize how much Irish culture, like, because you just grew up in Ireland until you move here and you're like, oh, you don't do even things like, it's polite to say no, but you should force me to have. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those sort of things.
Oh my God, so true. Or like the other
I mean, just
thing.
With drinks and food and stuff. Yeah. Not anything else.
Nothing else. So true. Nothing else. Go, you will. Like the other thing I find is that we're always saying, as much as I feel like Irish girls don't really want to like date American guys over here, American guys are really forward, which like Irish guys are just, I've never known one Irish guy to like tell me what he actually thinks in Ireland anyways.
No, it's true. You could be beating around the bush with an Irish guy for months,
like
then you'll get with someone and then they'll get drunk one night and be like, yeah, I really liked you. And you didn't tell me for a whole year,
like literally,
and now I'm already with someone else.
And ship has sailed. And I think that it's almost like they but the Irish guys can be confident with the American girls. I don't know if that's because they aren't like meeting them with the same kind of coy like crack or like.
No, and they don't know. Like I've heard American guys say you don't know what Irish girls if they actually like you because it's like they're roasting you.
Yeah.
Like, no, that means I like you.
Oh my God, I'm so guilty.
So I think the American girls, like you'd see it on these like Too Hot to Handle or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they just go up and they're like, I like you. You're like, what? I could never do that.
No, same. Oh my God. I literally, and like, I have like American friends over here who'd just be like, shoot your shot or whatever. And I'm like, I would literally rather lay down in the road before I went up to a guy and I was like, hey, really like you or whatever. Like, what?
And I've been told by them, shoot your shot.
Yeah.
Like, exactly that way. Like, shoot your shot. And then I've been shot down.
And then.
So what the fuck? No, I'd rather go back to my coy.
Yeah, we'll go back to our country, our culture. If not,
I've told this story before in the podcast, but I was shot down by a guy who he was definitely flirting with me heavily. We hung out a few times.
Okay,
and he was like, "You're exactly like my ex girlfriend," and you know, he was always like giving me compliments and stuff.
Okay,
but. We also were both comedians and I think he was really nervous of the fact, but one time we were really drunk. And now here, this is, I don't think it's actually good anymore to just lean in for a kiss because I think it's better maybe to ask before.
Yeah.
Like even just for men with women because it's just better because then sometimes the person might feel the pressure to kiss you.
Yeah.
He did not though and he had an accent. He was from a different country but he was like, no. I was like, whoa, okay, I guess I read that wrong. But in hindsight, I don't think I read it wrong. I think he should have had a bit more cop on in like what he was saying or how he was. But we stayed friends afterwards. It was grand. Okay. I thought it was funny. So I think you got to go through life getting rejected.
Yeah, 100%. As hard as that is for an Irish girl to take, we'll have to take that one on board. Yeah.
You were saying you were talking to an Irish guy. What was that you said?
I was saying, what did I say? Oh yeah, I was saying I was talking to like an Irish guy, like a friend of mine, who I was just like, what is the crack over here? I think actually he had been asking me like, oh, have you been on any dates in America or whatever? And we kind of went on like a deep dive into the topic and I was just like, can't hack the American men so far.
I felt like that and I dated a lot of like even just not Irish but just like immigrants. I did a good bit of Irish over here as well though, in fairness. But I will say I even thought about this last night with Leland, like you know, I'm such like an Irish person that I'm like, God, if he dies now, and I'm not even thinking about poor him dying. God. I'm thinking like, oh, I'll never, I'm thinking like, I'll never have a easygoing man like him again, which is awful. I'm thinking about how I'll be affected. This scenario, he's dead.
That is actually, I feel like that's so Irish girl of you or something, or even like,
the
I
bastard
know
went and died on me.
Fuck him. Like literally, what am I to do now?
But just but, like, cause you'll hear other friends talking about their relationships or whatever. And I'm always like, oh God, thank God. Because it's just like really, and I have to say this is definitely something about him being American is he has the chill of the Irish.
Yeah.
He does actually have the banter level. It just took, we were laughing about it last night because I was like, a picture came up on my phone and we were like 3 months dating at this stage and it was him at, like out for dinner, but he was so socially awkward and so, especially with women that he fancied, like, you know, very shy and very uncomfortable. Which is great. I've no worry of him even, you know what I mean? But no, I remember being on that, being like, this man doesn't talk, like, and you know, now it's like over, that was, so we're together like 2 years and 6 months now or something like that. But we were laughing about it last night. He was like, I'm glad you stuck it out. But he actually has like the best, we have the best laughs, we have the best crack, but it just took a while for that to come out. And I feel like sometimes American men can be a bit more reserved. Like Irish are just everybody's banter.
Yeah.
So maybe sometimes as Irish women, we don't give these nice American guys a chance.
No, I think that we actually are guilty of that. Or like maybe I'm guilty of that because like all the girls now, look, I work like, I'm just basically like constantly at work, but because it's like a family business, so it's kind of like, can I turn off? But a lot of my friends like in America like went on Hinge dates and like got really obsessed with like all these different guys, and they were like, they're just so nice, and like American boys always pay for things and they're really polite and like they are much more confident, like they will just be like, we're going on a date, whereas like I've known Irish guys just be like, yeah, we're going for coffee like a million times, but like no one knows if it's a date or what.
You're like, best friends?
What are we doing? But I just haven't actually like fully embraced it yet, but I'm saying all this now here, and next time you'll chat to me I'll be like, so I met an American.
I do think too, it's nice if you can give them a moment to have the banter, like to open up. They are better at communicating their feelings.
That 100%.
Which also can be bad too, because then they sometimes can be better at manipulating you with their feelings. Does that make sense?
That does make sense,
like,
actually.
I find like, but I do feel like if you get a good one, like with Leland, he's not embarrassed. And it makes you not embarrassed. Like even from the start, it was like, why would I be embarrassed like opening up or talking about my feelings? And it's not like trauma bonding. Like I do think sometimes you have to watch out for that, but it's just like, I like you. I think you're great. I'm so lucky. Or like he still to this day will give me compliments and tell me and all that stuff. You're like, actually, I do like that. You know, we like to say in Ireland, oh, I don't want the compliments. But actually, when you have it, you're like, this is really nice.
Yeah, no, I can actually imagine that. And I feel like that's the thing, because at home, because they're kind of like not forthcoming with how they feel, it just like makes you fully go into yourself and you like don't. And that probably just like develops. I actually have been saying that like just since like I travel a lot with work and everything now. And it's like, when I was in college, I kind of feel like there was more, I don't know, I feel like I was a little bit more conscious in like changing things I did for the outside world. Whereas now I'm very, like, I feel a bit more in my own skin since I've like lived away.
It's so true. I think everybody should travel because...
Oh, hugely.
Even when my younger sister was here, I was like, oh, here, let me take a photo there of you. And she was like, oh no, like I don't want, you know, people to be looking. And I was like, to be honest, in New York, there's so much going on, no one's ever looking at you.
No one looks.
And then she was like, oh, okay. And then she took the photo and she was like, do you know what, this is actually, we were both talking about it. She was like, it's really refreshing, because she's coming from a small town where people will be looking at. And it's not, she's not imagining it. I remember growing up and people would be like you get embarrassed for other people, secondhand embarrassment, where it doesn't exist in New York. New York, you walk down the road dressed as a pigeon and they're like, you do you.
Literally, they're like, oh, cool. Or like even, what's it, the Might naked cowboy? Yeah. And people are like, woo, I want a photo with him. I literally know that is so, so true. Because just like, even, I'm trying to think, oh yeah, do you know my big example of this when I go home now is there's a Gaelic team in New York, ODR, and I like teach them Pilates, and I teach them Pilates in Central Park.
Wow.
And to say that I could not do that in St. Stephen's Green, like I taught Pilates in Trinity, but if you actually ask me, they used to ask me to do classes outside in the Rose Garden, and I was like, I think it's raining that day. Like, I just can't really.
I know, you would be mortified.
Oh my God. Like, I just couldn't do it unless they had like paid and were within four walls. I was like, don't want strangers.
And I will say, I think so. Let's say my example is with comedy. I would have never thought about doing comedy in Ireland. And then obviously I did it here. And then going back was kind of nerve-wracking, because you'd be like, oh, you know, you have this thing like, are people judging? And you'd hear stories from home, like people judging or whatever. Because sometimes people are like, there's like that bit of attitude, like, who does she think she is? And but actually I feel like when you just own who you are, I think in fairness, the 100%. Irish who like that come out, like they respect it. And like even when I did my hours, like everybody was there, they weren't like they came to the shows, they were supportive, they were like, yeah, you're talking about anything. It wasn't like coming up to me afterwards being like, can't believe you were fucking talking about that.
100%.
It was like, so I feel like sometimes when you bring that energy, then people like that surround you, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I think as well, like from a business perspective, and I know that like everyone, this seems to be like a universal thing, but for me, like the job I'm doing, like essentially I'm the global brand director for Cool Swan. So like like in New York, you know, I'm like going into stores and like pubs and like talking to the owners and doing brand education and stuff. I would never do that in Ireland. I mean, I have now because I did, I got off the experience in America and then I could like kind of transfer it back. But like the thought of just going in and home and being like, hey, is the manager here? Like, that's just not how things are done. Whereas here, like the second question that everyone asks you is like, okay, what do you do? And it's just, but there's none like at home. I don't know, you almost have to like small talk, like, you know, don't like just you know, don't be kind of like doing something out on your own, like just keep it cool. Like,
it's also though, like on the other hand side of it, that politeness or that kind of always being aware of other people makes the people kind of thoughtful.
One, yeah,
because there's this girl on TikTok. I'll share her name in the because I can't remember where her handle is. Mm. But I started following her after she had experienced a horrible time in Italy, and then she's living in Turkey. She's American, but I was like, oh, that's how I'd seen the video, you know, of her bad time in Italy.
Yeah.
And then I just started seeing her videos, and I was like, oh, I really like her vlogs.
Yeah.
So then she actually went to Ireland, and I was like, oh god, I hope she has a good experience, because she'd already been like had a bad experience. And,
yeah.
But she had such a, and she's the first to like call it out. And she had like, she was saying about how she was in a hotel, and the breakfast, they didn't pay for it to be included, but she went downstairs and she was like, is it okay if we just pay for it now? And he was like, oh, that's actually, we're not able to do that, but you know what, just go in and have it. And she was like, oh no, I want to pay. And he was like, oh, we're not able to do it, just have it for free. Like, but I love that, because it's such an Irish thing of like, I'd rather you eat
100%
than our system, because I'm sure it's maybe a thing that they already, it's already done through like there's no cash thing, maybe it was one of those, like there was no way to pay for it. But it's just like, I you know, I just feel like that Ireland can be very hospitable and very caring, and
so
like, there's like, it's weird, there's like perks, and like I'll literally give out to America, like I'll be like to Leland, oh, America does this, but then I'll be like, oh, but then America, and then vice versa.
With at home, and like what I actually like keep saying about home and like people from home when I'm over here is like, there is like nowhere better in the world to be Irish, I feel, than in New York. Like, I'm just obsessed with it. But that, I don't think, is a reflection on like what Irish people are like in Ireland. I think it might be a reflection on like when you grow up, or when you're around the same set of people, you like, you kind of get this image of you. I felt like, anyway, I had this image of me created, because I was like, you know, ran the little society in Trinity, and I did a few things, and there was almost just this like image that then when I came away, I was like, Is that actually what I, do you know what I mean? And that was a part of the not being able, where now I'm grand, I could go in at home and it's be like, true. Hey, this is cool Swan. But before, I probably would have been a bit like, oh God, like they don't really think that I do this, and like they kind of think of me this way, so I don't really want to, you know?
No, I think you can't find yourself. You do find who you are when you move away.
No, 100%.
Because you're like, you find what you like. There's no one dictating it. There's no one watching. There's no fear of like, oh, if I do this, like, it's going to be passed around the town or whatever. Yeah,
that's,
it's just
the
freedom
one.
To, like, fail.
Yeah. Oh, freedom to fail.
Even
that's
if it's
like
your personality.
Out, yeah.
Like, well, actually, no, I'm funny and I never get to be funny, so let me try that. Or do you know what I mean? Like,
no, 100%.
I found in Ireland, like, I would say things quietly, and then my boyfriend at the time would say it out loud and people would laugh. But I would have said it and no one would have noticed. And it was something I kind of was just like, oh, that's like, like, it's nice that I said something funny, but my dad's like the funniest person in the world. So he just had the best stories. So he was always storytelling. And it wasn't until I came over here and I had friends who weren't Irish, and I'd be just telling stories, and they were literally like, you should do comedy, like you're like, and they'd be laughing and stuff. But it was the first time I had that space, because I think everybody's funny in Ireland. Everybody
That's
tells a
true.
Story. So I never really, and I was very, I had a lot of anxiety and I wasn't like as confident, but coming over and like making new friends and so I completely agree with you. I think you can literally find out who you really are when you just get out of your bubble.
Yeah, and it sounds like kind of cliche, but I just keep saying that to everyone, that I'm like, I can't express how much it just like, it's that, it's more like I almost felt that sometimes I was changing what I did to like match an outside perception, whereas now I'm like, oh, I don't know, I feel much more like in my own head.
Unapologetically
kind of
doing,
just doing my own thing. So yeah, it's very freeing.
And so what's it like? So we have Cool Swan. That's your, it's a coffee liqueur. Is that how you say it?
So it's an Irish cream liqueur. So it's a single malt Irish whiskey blended with white Belgian chocolate
and fresh
cream. Why did I say
coffee liqueur? Sorry, I
because
don't know where
we because I think when we were talking about, well, actually we met over coffee and I kept being like, throw it in your coffee later.
That's probably
look, obviously it's amazing in coffee. It's a family owned business, so it's so funny, I give the pitch so many times a day, so whenever I hear myself saying it, I've obviously said it a million times, so I'm like, oh my god, everybody's heard this. But yeah, so it's like all natural, like all made in Ireland, family owned, and it's kind of, you know, the answer to like a premium in the cream liqueur category. So that'd be like our gap, and it's really, really, really fun working with them. I mean, interesting working with a family business, but really fun.
And has that been your whole life?
So that's, everyone I actually could so easily solve this answer where people are like to me, when was it set up? And I'm like, because I just obviously always remember it being there. And obviously I could just like either Google it or ask my parents. But yeah, like my whole life, it's so funny. Like I just remember being like tiny kids, like probably not even really knowing what what we were selling. And we'd just be like carted all around the country. Like we used to go to like, you know, the Taste of Waterford, the Taste of Donegal, like the Taste of, I remember we used to love going to the one in Kenmare. We went all over the UK. Like we did shows in Oxford and Scotland and stuff. And yeah, people be like, what do your parents do? And I would just be like, oh, I don't know. There's like we they sell this like thing called Cool Swan. Like my dad has a farm. I don't really know.
So your dad is a farm and your mom... So your mom married into the farm.
Yeah.
Was it whose idea to decide to make this?
Yeah. So it's a bit, so my mum like worked with Diageo and had like drinks industry experience. And then my dad like had, and his brothers cows. Had like cows. Yeah. So basically when you pair the two together, guys, you get a world class cream liqueur. But yeah, that's mum's so from Blackrock, which is why, because I'm like from Navan in Meath. But everyone's like, you're not from Navan. And I'm like, I'm like, my mom's from Blackrock. She didn't let us.
You have a Blackrock accent, by the way. Even when you, I was like, yeah, you're from Dublin. And when you said Meath, I was like, you've told me you're from Meath, but
it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick.
But you know, Blackrock is D4, right?
Blackrock's D4.
So I'm going to have to play this episode to a guy. Yesterday, he's a comedian and he was doing an Irish accent. And he did, it was very Colin Farrell. I was like, that's good. Really good. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I can't do yours. It's too like, you know, like I think mine's very flat. It's very Kildare.
Yours is.
And then he was like, what are the other accents? And I was like, oh, you should try D4. But he was like, what? And I was like, I don't even know how to, but yes.
You can just play this to him. Yeah, it's so bad because like I know people with like obviously shocking D4 accents and they're like, no, yours is worse than mine. And I'm like,
I don't know. I don't think yours is. Yours, there's definitely words that come out. It's like, with me, there's words that come out that sound Longford, but just because my family lived there. So
okay,
like if I say,
that's what it is.
Like I say Cavan, like Cavan.
Oh, Cavan. Yeah, because I'm from Navan, so we're like Bowles School. And I'm like doing it with a Blackrock accent. It sounds
You definitely have a mix, but it definitely leans to D4 for sure.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's like, it's just a funny, I think it's more just like a thing where people are like, oh my God, she's actually from Navan. Like, that's hilarious. And she talks like that. And I'm like, I know.
Tommy Tiernan's from Navan.
Oh, Tommy Tiernan, Pierce Brosnan, Hector. Listen, girl. Me, Cool Swan.
Yeah, Cool Swan. And so your mom's from Blackrock and then she met your dad. How'd you meet your dad? He's the farm in Navan.
So, such a fun.
This is like a rom-com, you know, like from different worlds.
No, literally from different worlds. She's going to kill me because she's going to be like, I was born in Limerick, but I'm like raised in Blackrock.
And for American listeners, Blackrock is the Upper East Side of Ireland.
Oh my God, Mum. Yeah, you're from
and
the Upper East.
Navan is like, he lives in Nebraska.
Oh my God,
with the corn. We don't have so corn true. But just the cows.
Yeah, so we've got Upper East Side meets Nebraska. Yeah, my mum is, to be honest, my mum's like a bit of an icon. Like obviously she's a female CEO, which is like enough of a being an icon in and of itself. But she actually, how she tells the story is like, one year her and like her younger sister were just like, we're gonna go to every party, like we're not saying no to any invite. Like she was in her early 30s. And she was just like, we're really going to go for it. And like, they just had the wildest year. Like their stories are so funny. And then one thing that came up was Navan Rugby Club, which like my dad would be really involved in.
Was your dad in his 30s as well?
Yeah. No, they were like, no, proper. Like if
they're like a modern couple.
Oh, so much. But sure, because I have two sisters and my mom would be like, there are to be no boyfriends. Like she's like, get out, see the world. We're like, okay. But yeah, so my mum got tickets for this dinner dance in Navan Rugby Club, which apparently was like nationally renowned. So they really wanted to go down. And sorry, do you know what? She actually went down without tickets, but her brother had tickets. And somebody was like to her, oh, you need to tap. See that man over in the corner there? Tap him on the shoulder. He runs it. Yeah. He'll give you tickets. And she's always like, I tapped him on the shoulder and then orchestras played and all this. So it was obviously my dad.
It
was my dad. Yeah, so he was running it. So he sorted her tickets. But it's so funny then because when they tell the story now, whenever they ended up getting together and my mum was like first retelling the story, he was like, oh yeah, I remember like you were in a red dress. And my mum's like, I was not in a red dress, and I remember who was in a red dress, and it wasn't me. So, yeah, it's a bit of a. It
men
is a meet
cute. Men aren't the best with their memory, though.
Yeah,
yeah, they're not. They're not the best with memory or logic.
I know.
And
I know.
They say girls' logic, and I know it's a whole thing. On
girl
TikTok,
math.
But like, stop. Literally, no. I even said this to Leland. I can't remember what the situation was, but I was like, "That makes zero." The amount of times I go, "That makes zero sense," yeah. And then he'll just laugh, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't know." Like. There's no like
so
forward thinking with men. They're in the moment.
Yeah.
And I wish I remember what it was, but I remember being like, that's mental.
Yeah. Like, no, I love how unapologetic as well. Cause like, I just watch my dad, like when mum would be saying that, and he'd like laugh at his own mistake. Yeah. Whereas if that was a girl did it to a guy, we'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And like trying to make it up to them that we like mistook them. But yeah, guys are just like, oh lol. Yeah you weren't in a red dress, grand. Anyway, next.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's a good way to be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And then they decided to get together, obviously.
To get together.
When did she approach about the, when did she come up with the idea about Cool Swan?
Yeah, Cool Swan was just like something that kind of like came up for them like along the way as they were like, I don't even know. When I think about it, I'm like, how did this even like fit in? Like, how did it? Because I really remember, like I remember it growing up as kids. I remember it being there and whatever. But it never, I don't think that they really intended on it getting so big and like running it and like doing all this. It was just one of those things where like, I remember particularly, it's a family business, right? So like sometimes you've times that you're a bit like, oh my God, like, is it gonna keep going? Like, cause both, like my mum's the CEO and my dad's the COO. So like, we're very, you know, like knee deep in it. Like my two sisters are in college and they definitely won't touch off it or work with them, but I ended up getting roped in. So, you know, we're really involved, but yeah, it's just been, it's kind of like a wild thing that I never fully appreciated until now. I kind of got it in college. Like I remember being like, okay, like I guess I did get to like meet so many people and do so many cool things growing up. That I really took for granted. But now I'm like, Jesus, it's class. Like, I'm traveling around the world. Like, you know, I'm...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's it like, though, working with your family like, though? Is it...
Oh, my gosh.
Is, you know, is it good? Or do you feel like you clash heads sometimes? Is it hard to... Because I guess it depends. Like, I'd love to... I could see myself working with my dad, but also... Yeah, I could see clashing heads a bit on, like... You know, because it's like... Like in, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know actually. It's just a hard one because I find that the way people behave with their family can be their best and worst self.
Yeah.
You know, like there'd be things that your sisters or brothers would do and they're not going to do that outside the house. So like there'd be things your sisters and brothers could say to you that you'll forgive. You'd never forgive anybody else.
See.
So it must be hard then when you throw in work because... Whereas if your boss is like, no, I don't agree with that, you could be like, well, you're my mother, you should like my idea.
So it is the weirdest dynamic, like literally that. It's the weirdest dynamic. And honestly, like props to my parents for like working so closely together and like being happily married, because I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. Like it's weird, right? Because it's the, my mom's always like, oh no, HR laws apply with you, haha. And it is true, because it's like, well, like, when am I going to be like, it's too early for the call or it's too late for the call? And vice versa, to be fair, like obviously, you know, if I have a question, I can kind of contact her anytime or whatever it is that comes up. But it's a strange dynamic because like you could be on a call and then, you know, something could come into your mind about like, oh, did you also email about that like separate dinner thing, like for your aunt or whatever? And it's a bit like, oh, or like, I remember when I started like this gig, like the global brand director, like we just kept getting confused as to whether, like we get into a fight and then mum would be like, but are you actually talking to me as your boss or as your mother? Cause, like, and I'd be like, oh yeah, we have to make that distinction now. But at the same, like it definitely lets you get more out of it. And like, that's what's so exciting now about Cool Swan is like the team's like really tight and like really young and like, you know, I'm there, mum's there, dad's there, so it's like so full of passion and energy and like it's really showing, like, you know, we're really hitting these markets and it's just flying and people are like upset. Like when I walked into a bar and I'm like, oh yeah, it's my parents, like New York love the hustle. Like they're like, oh my God, like they literally are just like, whoa. But like one funny story is like I was out in Dublin with one of the guys who works in the office recently, And John was like to me, oh yeah, like your mum's gas, like if she thinks of something, she'll like do it on the spot. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, yeah, you know, the other day when you were in London. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, we had a sales meeting. And I was like, right. And he was like, yeah, and do you remember she like called you to talk about like your flight to New York or something? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, she had that on speaker. And I was like, what? I was like, what was I talking about? And he was like, because I remember she rang me and she was like, you don't need to check in a bag. And I was like, well, maybe I do need to check in a bag. And she was like, no, you don't. And I was like, what about my shampoo? And he was like, yeah, we heard all that. I was like,
yeah, you literally have to have these boundaries now where you got to be like, okay, before I say any more, am I on speaker? Yeah. Or you have to be like, am I talking to mother or boss?
No, literally, like sometimes
the opposite. What she did.
Yeah. Oh my god, no. I remember like when I was in New York, like a month or two ago, I had like a really bad sinus infection, and I remember I called her one night, and I was like, I am not calling you as my boss. Like I'm calling you as my mum, because the other thing is, if work is like tiring you or anything, you don't call your boss and talk about it. You call your mum, yeah. And you're like, oh my god, I'm so wrecked. Yeah. And she's just like my font of all knowledge. Like she's just like done it all and seen it all. So when I was the auditor of the Law Society in Trinity, like that woman was like, she was like second in command, you know. Yeah. She'd get calls all the time like, this is going on, that's going on, whereas now I'm kind of like, ooh. And my dad's involved there too, so yeah. I can't exactly be like, dad, mom's saying this, because he's like, well, from the business perspective. So no, it's definitely interesting, but it's exciting because like, it lets you push things a lot further. So yeah.
How do you keep the boundary of, okay, it's done talking about work talk? So like, yeah. You know, because then when you hang out with them, like, how do you make sure it doesn't always become about like projection statistics or whatever?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No,
the cows.
I was like obsessing over these like little cow, like what are they called? Coasters. Yeah.
Shout out Marcella. She gave them to me.
Oh my god! Shout out Marcella. Love them. Yeah, it's because it's definitely still a work in progress. So when because sometimes I hear people be asked this question and I'm like, oh my god, stunning. They're like, I put my phone down after 8, or like, you know, me and my husband say this or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, we're not there yet. But it is kind of new, and it genuinely is like such a passion project. Like 90% of the time when I'm talking to them about it, and it could be like midnight or whatever, it's because I'm like, oh, these really exciting things happened today. And like, you want to talk about them because like, they're such like, I don't know, highlights of your day. And and I'm very much like my friends are always like, you know, you have a great social life and stuff, but like, we know that you're just like kind of always on the clock, and that's just how I am. And I kind of, you know, I like really enjoy work, and I've always really enjoyed like the things that I run and I do. So like, that's just how the cookie crumbles when you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I think like for me, we try and keep it like, okay, like, in what capacity am I talking to you now? Like, are you talking to me as your daughter, or are you talking to me as like an employee right now? So like, that's for the most part the only boundary at the moment. But you know, like, to be fair, my mum, actually, I just have this like capacity to just like fully like work and forget to stop working.
Yeah.
And
same.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I can, yeah, yeah. Look, birds of a feather.
I think too as well that your parents are people who get it, or like Leland is someone who gets it. So you're just going to more talk about comedy. You're going to more talk about work.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing, because you're also doing something that's like a passion project. Yeah. And, you know, it's like something that you also are like just passionate about. And actually, it's so funny because one of the girls on the gal team I went for coffee with her the other day, she'll definitely be listening to this as well. So she's going to be like, oh my God, Alana, you're getting a shout out. She was like, I'm so fascinated by like my friends who don't have 9-to-5s because like, what is your day? And I'm like, yeah, if I broke down like an average day or week in the life, like same with you, like your friends just really have to like get it and be okay with it, and your family, because if they weren't, like if your support network wasn't and they just didn't understand it, like there'd be like, sure, look, I'd never.
Yeah, I've had someone judge me before for saying, like, I'd say like, oh, when I get up, you know, okay, a couple of judgments. First will be like, yeah, I don't usually wake up till 11. Yeah. Oh my God, that's crazy. And it's like, yes, sorry, you're in bed by 8 p.m. Don't, like, we're on
you
different
work. Lifestyle. Yeah, you work.
I'm like up to like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then the other judgment was, I'll say like, oh, I'll get up and I watch TV and have a cup of tea and breakfast, but I watch TV straight away.
Yeah.
And people are like, that's crazy. And it's like, not really, because I'm going to be working all night. Mm-hmm. So like, you get to come home and watch TV. And then I'm like editing clips while I do it. I'm emailing while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So the TV's on in the background, or like I pause it and then be like, okay, I can watch the last 20 minutes if I get this done. So it's kind of a reward system as well. But I don't get to
come home, and or if I do, I'm going to be up even later. So it's like, yeah. I still need that wind down time, you know?
No, 100%. And I think it's like, it's funny because that's another part of me that I feel like maybe I almost, when I was at home, like people did have that image of me of like, oh my God, Ruth's gas, like she works all the time, she doesn't sleep, she's this, she's that. And it's kind of like, yeah, but I didn't really like own it over there because it was more just like I was running to keep up with like this image of like the tens of different people I was. Whereas over here, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, like I do, like I've just really like, you know who your real friends are when they really accept it and they kind of actually love it. Like, yeah. Do you know when they say like, oh, like when you're in love with someone or whatever, what you really kind of, you know, because it's even the things about them that like you hate, you like, yeah. You love. And because like,
don't get the ick.
You just, yeah. Even though if like, oh my God, the ick, my favorite topic of conversation. Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like that where it's like my sisters and me are always like, I remember one day I was playing a game with like my sister Laura and it must have been like high the lockdown. We must have been bored. And she was like, okay, like stop. We had just like done a list of like our icks. So she was like, if you were a guy, like what would your ick be for you? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, just the way I work in general, yeah, would literally be like, girl, what are you doing? But you know, I just love like that my friends just find it so funny. Yeah. And they like love swatting in around it, like, so yeah. And like vice versa, like I love like anybody with like a crazy or like a 9 to 5. I'm also like so back that, so
yeah. I'm like, you just get up at 7, that's fair play. I'm not like judging, I'm impressed. No,
yeah, I'm impressed, yeah.
Yeah, my God, I would like, you know, I was about to say I would, but it's like suicide prevention day was the other day, so I shouldn't say that, but I mean, I genuinely would be. I find that my mental health, if I wake up early, I feel like really depressed, but my brain is just better suited. I need those, but then again, I guess it's just because I need those 8 hours to sleep. Then I don't feel depressed.
Yeah,
and I can't sleep even if I've like, when I've had days off and I've tried to go to bed at 12 o'clock, I just can't go to sleep before 3.
Yeah,
my brain's just not made that way. So if I had a 9 to 5, I would literally be depressed. And that's something for people to think about as well. If you find that you can't sleep during the night and you've tried everything, and people are like, maybe change your job.
Actually, that is,
go to
such
a job
a good...
that's like 12 to 8, or if you can, or I don't know. I just think this whole 9 to 5 isn't for everybody. And
100%.
You know,
I actually like really, like that's like really interesting because I feel like, say I'm like just out of, like I just finished in university, like I've got my grad on the 23rd of November. And
amazing. 23rd of November.
23rd of November.
Why not the 23rd of November?
No.
And then I couldn't use my visa because it was graduate visa.
Yeah.
So I came to America on the 24th of November.
Oh my God, yeah, no way. Oh my God, straight after your story.
Okay, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. So I'm like, you know, about to graduate and like, I think that there's such a mentality of gotta get my training contract, gotta get my office job, gotta. And then a lot of people with those jobs, like a lot of friends of mine with those jobs, are like, oh my God, I'm so like jealous, or I'm so upset that I'm stuck in Dublin. Like, half of them actually genuinely, like, that is the job for them because they love the 9 to 5 life. Half of them genuinely could do with, you know, a job a bit more like mine or yours or something. And it's like time to, I feel like we all kind of just like idealize what each other do, and like, you know, there's a very kind of like set way of living life, or there's like a thing that people are like, oh, that's so cool, or I could never. It's like, actually, maybe like the 9 to 5 isn't for you. Maybe, or maybe the 9 to 5, like maybe my job would kill you. Maybe it would literally kill you.
Yeah. Also, having an office job, if you were happy with that, amazing. You don't need to have a passion either. If you're like,
no,
I just work 9 to 5, I play my sport on the weekend,
or I go to brunch with the girls.
I watch my shows. Fucking. Once you're doing whatever's making you happy, no one else.
Because
like, I love my dad is like, of course, really supportive.
Yeah.
Extremely supportive. But he still, when he didn't really know where comedy was going, he was always like, well, I just think you'd be great manager of a job or of a bar.
Yeah.
And it was always just suggestions. But if I were like to want to have just pleased him, maybe I would have leaned into that. But I was like, no, you know, I want to figure this out. And even he said, you're very much like that, your personality is very like, wing it and kind of go with it, and there's no, I don't really worry about, like I can live very minimalist.
Okay.
So the kind of like taking the risk with comedy was fine in that regard, because you're not really sure if it's going to pay off. But for people listening, if you choose to just go with what your family or what society or whatever,
if you're doing it for someone else, then it's probably not going to make you happy. But if you if you also agree with them and you're like, yeah, I'd be fucking, I would, that's a great suggestion. I would love to be a manager, whatever.
Yeah, no,
and even a manager of a bar isn't as, it's not like, what's the word? It can be as risky as nearly comedy. So it's so funny. It's not like he was like, join the guards or whatever. Yeah. He no, was just 100%. Looking at my personality and being like, you're very sociable and very hardworking.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a different life, yeah, that would have been a great job. But but no, I was like, I kind of know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And the college thing is, me and my friend were just talking about that. You don't really need to go to college anymore. I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, same.
And I'm not using my degree. It was the best thing I ever did. I met amazing people.
Yeah.
Long-term friends, got to it was the first time I could pay attention.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because you were like, you enjoyed what you were.
Yeah, not in the art history. I would always fall asleep in art history class automatically.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I can't pay attention when people are giving like monologue. It's very relaxing. I fall asleep. Okay. And I couldn't pay attention to a lot of school stuff. But because it was creative, it was with your hands. Mm-hmm. It was like thinking about projects. They did a lot of like these conceptual projects. And then, like, you know, doing exhibitions. And then what was the other one? Oh, and then there was one lecture that I wouldn't fall asleep, but it was like about visual culture. And I found it really interesting. And I was like, I can pay attention if I like it or if it's physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it led me to comedy. But I think you can, if you go to the right, like with college as well, if it could be the right, you might not use a degree, but it could still, but also, you don't have to go. Like, you know when people are just like, I'm just going to get like a business degree. And I'm like, okay, cool. You want to do business? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to get? Just think about it. Take a year. Think about it.
Yeah, take a year. I think like taking a year, you know, like you don't just like have to kind of follow like the beaten down path. One thing I will say though, like I did law and politics in Trinity and now I'm doing this. So I'm like, I think degrees.
You did law and politics.
I did law and politics.
That's so cool.
I know.
Do you know about all the politics in the world?
Oh my god, yes, all of it. I can solve world peace right now. It's actually so funny, I did do politics and like I don't know why people in America think that we don't know anything about their politics. Like would I be like, say, they could,
because they meet people like me and I don't. I'm like, I know about Roe versus Wade, that's about it.
No, but they wouldn't even think, like I've met people before who are like, wait, how do you know who our president is and stuff? And I'm like,
he's our best reality show, what are you talking about? Even Joe now.
I'm like, Joe's from Ireland, guys. Joe's from Ireland.
Trump was good TV. TV and Joe's not bad TV either. He said, God bless the Queen in England. She's dead. But like, I guess that's okay to say. Maybe he was thinking like, oh, I'm sure they still say it. But I imagine in England they say God bless the King now, do they?
Yeah, I would have thought, because like their national anthem changes to...
It was a Sleepy Joe thing.
A Sleepy Joe. Do you know what? I'm in London next week. I'll let you know.
Yeah, you can ask.
Big
questions.
Yeah, the big questions. I'm like, so how do you guys just say that now?
And then Trump said Republic Ireland was part of the... When he was in the Republic Ireland.
He was part of the UK.
Yeah, he said, so nice to be in the UK.
Oh my God, Do you know what? I never know whether I'm mixing up what Trump said with like the SNL things. Like I actually
with the memes. Yeah. No, fuck SNL after their hacky Irish are alcoholics.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, okay, you're going to do this. I haven't actually seen it, so I'm like, I'm totally jumping on the brand. I saw like 2 seconds of it and I turned it off because I was like, okay. If you're going to like try to attack our national treasure, Colin Farrell.
Oh, stop the man.
And he is a recovered
alcoholic.
It's punching down. And it's also like, you've done it a million times with the Irish skit. Like, think of something a bit more original.
Yeah, I actually also genuinely, like being an Irish person, working in the drinks industry over here, the amount of like people who are Irish or like, you know, work in the industry or whatever, who are very like, you know, they'd love a glass of Cool Swan because it's very like after dinner kind of vibes, you know, but they're not out to get like hammered. Like, if anything, it's that American college culture of like drinking games and then we drink at the club. And I'm like, I've never... Like, pubs at home don't open that early. Liquor stores at home are not open that
early.
And they close early. These people are like knocking back shops until 5 a.m.
on a Sunday.
And God bless. Look, well, the Lord made Sunday so naturally.
They drink more here and they throw shade. And when I was bartending, they were drinking early. They were drinking shots.
I forgot you were a bartender.
And the shots are 3 sizes or at least 2.5 more than what ours are. Because ours
free
is 1
here.
Ounce. Yeah. And then whiskey here is like nearly 3. They say it's 2 ounces, but it's basically 3 ounces with a free pour. So you're just hammered after one glass.
Yeah.
But I you know what I'm going to find interesting with Cool Swan? I think
because I don't eat dairy over here.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. But I think Cole Swan will be fine for me because dairy at home is fine.
See, that. So this is the thing is like...
Am I just going to get everybody sick? This is basically dairy free because it's Irish dairy.
No, literally.
Irish dairy is better. Like, we have the Kerrygold butter and I'm fine with it.
No, like, honestly, I say that to... And actually, that's like a number one kind of review that I get back all the time over here is like, people are like, I don't really do dairy. And I'm like... I don't do American dairy. Yeah. And I don't. I mean,
there's no hormones in this. There's no antibiotics in this. Honestly, literally. I've been feeling a bit. I have a UTI right now.
Oh, no.
I'm like, should I go buy a pint of milk?
to get my free antibiotics? Just drink a bottle of Cool Swan, girl. You'd be
no, because there's no Cool Swan. There's no antibiotics in it.
In it, sorry. That's oh my God, saying. Sorry. Antibiotics.
I should get the American milk instead of having to get antibiotics.
The antibiotics thing only clicked with me today because I was like, oh yeah, there's hormones in the dairy. And then I was reading something and I was like, oh my God, there's antibiotics.
They give them like the meds and everything, and it's not like the cows coming from your Cool Swan, or they're literally probably the cows, like when I'm walking home and like where my family live now in Longford, like the cows come and greet you.
Honestly
though,
and they're eating like Irish grass, and
I feel so bad for them. I don't want to eat them when I see them like that because they're like playful. They come up, they're like mooing as you're walking down the road, basically saying hello. They're just lovely. But is your dad just dairy?
We're just dairy.
We don't do the meat.
No, we don't do steak. We just do the steak.
Oh, so that's
we just
so
do
nice.
Dairy. Yeah, so it's nice.
Milk in them.
Yeah, well, it's
do they
yeah.
do cheese or
no? It all and actually, like dad's like obviously fully involved in like the business now, but. Like his brothers and all have farms, and no, it just all goes to like Lakeland Dairies and
Lakeland's in Granard.
Yeah, I think so, aren't they?
That's where my family.
No way.
We're literally like a 2 minute drive down there.
You'll be grand on this milk then, girl, because you know where it's coming from. No, but honestly, it's so funny because like over here, I'm literally like, this is. It's Irish dairy, which is like, and in a lot of, I think some cream liqueurs actually also don't use like a. Full like a cream, like I don't know if they actually use like Irish cream, because it's so funny when you like actually read the ingredients of things that you're eating or drinking, you're like that is not what I that's not what it sounds like. But this is literally like Irish cream, single malt Irish whiskey, white Belgian chocolate, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of cocoa.
Belgian that's chocolate it. Vanilla and cocoa.
This
so is it's like a treat.
Oh, listen. A bit of that over the
I
ice.
I wish I didn't have the show because Ruth was like, oh, I'll bring some, we'll have it over ice. But I don't even have a drop of drink before, especially if I'm emceeing.
Yeah, you're dead right, yeah.
Because I get like a, what is the word? There's a special word for it. In old Irish countrymen say it like a taste of, you know, like when I have
so
I don't even like having brunch, or I don't have drinks when I brunch or anything, because and I can like limit myself to one a night, but I'll still have the, I don't want the whole day being like, oh, I'd love another one. Like I have the capacity to be an alcoholic. Like 100%. And I mean, like, and that's not to dismiss addiction at all, because I can't even imagine. But there was alcoholics in my family, and I do get that, you know. And I did have to limit. I had to get very strict at one point and start limiting myself, because I would just get such a buzz about it. So I could really see how you can lean into it.
Yeah.
And I'm not here also not pushing that as an Irish stereotype.
You know, so like, it's just a thing.
I was talking to my friend, and I was like, it's so annoying. Like, we're not all alcoholics. And then I was like, well, at the same time, like, they're literally my great uncle was like an alcoholic. But like, you know, I can just see how you could just be like, how you could lean on it, or how you could, and I'm sure there should be a different word for that, because I don't feel like that's alcoholism. Maybe that's more like a lean or crutch. Use it as a crutch.
Using it. Do you know what? That's another thing that I was like over here, like genuinely hand on heart over here. I would like I'd have like Cool Swan cocktails and stuff of a night out. Like I love as well. It's very like, you know, you can have like one. Kind of like I love it as a dessert cocktail, or like a little tipple after dinner or something, but like it's not the kind of thing that you're like knocking back. And I do feel like, well, I don't like some people obviously, it just depends how you like drink, but I would find that there's cocktails where you have one and then you're like, oh my god, like I need another. And you know, and then there's kind of like different drinks that like I always think, me and the girls, like since college, it's like, okay, like maybe like seltzers or like dessert cocktails or something, because it's not like a dependency. It's more just like that we're used to socializing that way.
You get like, oh yeah, too. I get a bit of a craving too.
Yeah,
the same way if I have like a sweet.
See, that's the thing, actually. If you had like one, and like, why does that not happen to us with like random
vegetables?
Yeah,
no fucking craving.
Guys, somebody literally, like hypnotize me.
I know. I've been to the like the three last annuals with the doctor, and the same results back are like, eat veg.
I was an Irish dancer. So like my friends are like, you're a health freak, and I'm like, I think I just like. I was on such a good plan for ages, and I'm like, now I just like love those. Yeah. So I'm like,
you know what's great too? Guinness. I know it's different for men because they can just, but I find I can't drink more than 3 Guinness,
and it's really, it's 4%. It's super slow. I drink it really slow.
Really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so wait. So you were because we only have about 10 minutes left, but let's quickly talk about Irish dancing.
Let's talk about Irish dancing.
You know, I saw this Irish girl, and again, I'm gonna have to find all these girls' TikToks and put them in the fucking description, because I feel like I'm like quoting them and I don't know their names.
We don't want any copyright here. We've got plagiarism or whatever.
I just followed her, but someone had wrote on it, and this is Americans too. They say these statements knowing nothing.
Yeah.
And the American person wrote, yeah, well, you've no culture. And I know that they like say that about like white people in America and stuff like that, and I understand where there's a hit, but saying it to someone who's from Ireland, and so she did this video about how like our language, our sports, and our sports are played some places in the world, but predominantly Ireland.
Yeah.
And they're so unique between
between
all the Gaelic sports. You guys can look it up, between hurling, mm-hmm, football,
mm-hmm, rounders.
Yeah, baseball comes from rounders.
Yeah.
Rugby comes from Gaelic football, because there's an Irish guy in England picked up the ball and started running with it. Do you know who Aussie
it's
rules?
Like, guys, we are literally, we are the genesis of all of these things.
We get no fucking credit. Hurling is hockey, but like I said in my joke, we're just not pussies. We have a big scary stick, a big wooden stick that'll kill you.
Halloween is an Irish, like...
comes from Samhain.
Guys, come on.
Literally, the pumpkins were from them putting lanterns. It was originally turnips.
Yes.
And then the Irish Americans, when they came over, started using pumpkins.
Literally. Yeah. No, so I'm... Yeah, and like...
Oh, and well, really quickly, just so anyone... We have a language. we have our own folklore.
Yeah.
And what else? And our own music too.
Mm-hmm.
And our own musical instruments and stuff like that. Mm. No, and you were going to say.
Well, what I was going to... Yeah, I love it. You're like, must get them all in. No, you're right. And what I actually love is that like part of my job, I'm literally here, I'm like, Bord Fáilte, like, give me a job as well. Because part of my job is literally, I feel... like re-educating people slightly on like Ireland, and like I really love, that's why, because I actually came across you, because I was like, you know, the Dead Rabbit, like, we're one of the first guys to kind of support us in New York, and then so I was just like on a binge of like the Dead Rabbit's Instagram, and then came across That's Deadly, and like came across you. But like, I think that there's this misconception about like, well, people who just think we don't have a culture are like wrong, or who are like, oh, Ireland, like drinking, fighting, all that. I'm like, no, Cool Swan is all about like fresh Irish, like that, like what the Dead Rabbit pitch, where it's like, do you know what,
Irish cows and the grass, the green grass, the rainy grass.
Oh my god, but even more for us, it's like, you know, not like step dancing, kind of like river dance, you know, like the where tradition meets tomorrow, that's the Dead Rabbit slogan, but like it does tie into like fresh Irish as well, where it's like, we're actually such a well-educated nation, like, we, you know, like, even look at us here, like making our way and like doing all these like different
abortion
stuff in different
rights,
countries,
same-sex marriage,
all came first in Ireland.
It's becoming a very diverse country as well.
100%
specifically Dublin.
We've got like for Cool Swan, it's really like, you know, young professionals like are really like the ones who, I think like Tesco did like a profile on our customer, and they're like, oh my god, it's like young 20s, early 30s, which is like unheard of for creams. But that's because, you know, what this is more that fresh Irish vibe, where it's like, well, actually, like, all these massive tech companies, they have their HQ here, you know, like, we have like, trad music, but like, you're like our ga players, but it's like, cool, they're all young, it's all very happening, it's not like all these kind of like pishogues of old, or like all these, it's kind of hard sometimes to explain it to someone who's not Irish, except that you're like, well, look at me, like, do you know what I mean? And I have red hair and all, but I'm like, I'm not the, even when I was Irish dancing, like, there's, you kind of would sometimes, you know, end up at the ga halls and be like in the old kind of like, it would feel like oldie worldy Ireland. But like, oh my god, if you go to like an international Irish dancing competition, like, this is like big stakes. Like, our culture is unique in that it's so like embedded in, like, look at St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, who else has like a national holiday that is like celebrated more outside of Ireland than it is like in Ireland?
Yeah.
So it's like that vibe of kind of trying to be like, no guys, hang on, like Ireland's not like we've such like a rich culture and like rich history and like, you know,
our literature
WB8, that's where the name for Cool Swan comes from.
Amazing.
Yeah, the Wild Swans are cool by WB8.
Yeah, we have a lot and a lot of really cool people in history, like badass people. And we've had like, colonization and then came out of that, and then a depression and then came out of that,
and
then a recession and came out of that.
Came out of that.
And then like started to get rights, and I mean, and they advocates for other countries as well.
Yeah.
I feel like it does stand up where that's not usually the cool thing to do. Like, I mean, it is cool, but I mean, when you're the only country standing up for, like, when you see some of these like political clips, and I'm like, go Ireland, you're saying the right things.
Yeah, no, we're really like, and what I always think as well about Ireland is I love that it's like so small, because you don't actually ever feel that removed from like the top dogs. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, realistically, like, we all have like a TD who knows the Taoiseach, but like over here, like, your local politicians hardly are like having coffee with like
the 1%. I've never, when I lived in Greenwich when I was waitressing, I've never met people as rich like that. And I like, even with like, let's say you saying like D4 or like BlackRock, that's as rich as it gets. That's not even like that rich. And you're in college with these people. There's no separation.
No.
And then there's more access to cheap like education. It seems more socialist, and I don't know if Ireland would even say that, but compared to America, like the access to healthcare. But then on the other side, I'm sure at home there's like, well, we need better access to mental health care. We need, but they would say that's that true. Here as well. They would say that here too. That might be just a thing in the world that we need to.
Yeah, I always think, like, especially like now, having been away, I'm like, the thing about Ireland is like, it's not like that, you know, everybody like has their gripes, but like
nowhere's perfect,
but you come here and you're like, you're only, most people, there's resources there that like you can only really fall so far, whereas like when I came over here, I was like, whoa, like you could be flying high, and then like, it's, isn't that the,
you can
New
hit
York
the real
thing?
rock bottom here, or even like, just seeing people you see in this. So when my friend was visiting, I pointed out how like you can see the wealth discrepancy on one street.
Oh,
so you have like, there was this one street on one side, it's like the richest apartments ever seen, and on the other side was I don't know what the house is for people like who don't have a home but are coming through. It wasn't like a rehab place, but it was like a, it was definitely like a,
what do they call it? Halfway house kind of thing.
Kind of like a halfway house or something like that.
Like a
I forget the word for where. I'm also like nervous to say, I guess in America they say unhoused now, which I think is like more offensive, but I'm not unhoused. I have an apartment. But
you're like, I'm
very lucky. Yeah. But yeah, here it's like, they like to say that. But I find though in America they like to say words to absolve their guilt, so they like to use like,
oh, so
I'm not gonna say homeless, I'll say unhoused, like I'm a good person, and I'm kind of like, honestly, right, like whatever, but are you also doing the other side, like are you, if you have money, are you helping, are you trying to make your community better? And I find that it can be quite an American thing too. And I don't know, maybe listeners will say they found it in other places as well, but my observation has been that people will, you know, post about all the good things they're doing and not do it. They nearly want to look and they want to thank you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, I say this word, I'm such a good person. And it's like, well, are you following up with the actions?
Yeah.
Oh, you said that, how dare you? And like, okay, like if someone says like, oh yeah, no, this, they're like, I bumped into a homeless person, they're getting mad. But you don't know, maybe that person is actually like in the community. Like, you know, sometimes I'm like, words are a bit, I also can't imagine any homeless person or unhoused, whatever, has stood up and said, this is what, like, but,
this
but then
is what
I, but then I don't know, because they don't have a lot of advocates. I'm just started listening to the Blind Boy episode with I don't know her name, but she was talking about poverty and she wrote that book Poor. But I'm interested to see at the end. I don't think she was ever unhoused, but she just grew up in poverty. But I found that as a recommendation. I've only gone halfway through. Those episodes are fucking long.
Yeah.
So I had to pause it because I've got to live life. Blind Boy just be talking for 15 minutes like, up top.
You're like, I'm watching it in segments. Yeah, it's like,
I'm about to go on to episode 2. But yeah, no. But yeah, I think someone like, I don't think she's ever, but like, she seems to be a great spokeswoman for growing up in poverty. And Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know. It's just, anyway, that was a little rant about, like, give people a bit of a...
break when they're using the wrong word. No, yeah. I actually, yeah, that's, like, a thing that, like, also just, like, well, I don't know. I don't really feel like... Because I kind of came through the era of, like, culture, cancel culture in college.
Yeah, because how old are you? Yeah, are you 21?
21, yeah.
You're a baby! Oh, my God, I'm so 21. Old.
Yeah. Stop.
But so, keep talking. I'm just going to check my phone. Really
yeah, quickly. No, like, I came through that, like, era of cancel culture in college, which, like... guess like the one thing for me I remember was we were always like, oh my god, because like I was, I mentioned the Law Society's getting a good plug out of me here today. Trinity's Law Society, I remember like when I was the secretary and like organizing speakers, we were like, you know, you'd sweat it so much whether like has this person ever done anything that anyone could find offensive, and it's like, even if they have, I feel like the mentality now is even if they have, aren't you better having them in and then challenge them on it and let students who were offended come in and kind of air it?
Because they didn't want, there was some guy,
Nigel Farage. There was
Yeah. And what was it he did again? He said some like anti-Muslim stuff, right?
Nigel Farage, I guess, yeah, like UKIP's like very anti-immigrant and stuff, isn't it? So Jesus. One of the societies was having him in to talk, and now look, I could be talking. All I know is that I remember... basically, there was such a backlash against him. And then everyone was kind of like, ooh, we better not invite anybody who can be in any way controversial, which sometimes with politicians, even the most inspiring ones, is hard because there's always going to be people who vote against them. So it's like...
And are people having debates with them or...?
No, like they come in for like a talk. So it'd kind of be like a Q&A and you'd be like,
oh... And then you can debate it after.
You can, yeah. Because like we had in an Irish senator who, to be fair, somebody in the crowd afterwards had like a very kind of like cutting question for him. But like he handled it so well, answered it so eloquently. And then by the end, like him and the student were kind of like going back and forth on the issue, but like understanding each other's points of view, which like there's something to be said for that's what college is about. Now, like I actually don't know. I don't even think I was in Trinity when the Farage thing happened. But I remember last year one of the societies had Jeremy Corbyn and we were all like, oh, my God, how are you having Corbyn? Like,
and who's he again? I know.
He was the head of Labour in the UK, but like he got in trouble for like... saying different things anyway. I'm always like allegedly.
I mean, it's just the bottom is most, a lot of these people are horrible.
But the bottom line is like, yeah, there's like all that cancel culture. And like, I guess I survived that era in college. But I think that sometimes, like, I think that people think it's worse than it is in our age group, maybe. Now, I could just be speaking. Like, I could be totally wrong, but, like, I don't, like, really feel like I go around my whole day being like, oh, my God, I can't say that. But there is that mentality where, like, I'd have people come to me and be like, but I guess you guys don't say that anymore these days. And I'd be like, oh, my God, no. Like,
that's kind of dismissive, too. I think you're Gen Z, are you?
Gen, probably. I think
Gen Z are going to change the world because you were the first people who were like, we don't have to work 70 hours a week. And I was like, what? Yeah. No one told me. I'm breaking my arse here. And then I'm like, actually, well, also, for what? I don't need... I was nesting away my money like a fucking squirrel, like, because that's the way, like, my dad's generation was, like, it affected from his parents' generation. You know, my dad, they lived in the 80s, early 90s, where they didn't have anything. And everybody left.
Yeah.
They were so poor. And then, so, even if we grew up in a better Ireland, I felt that mentality, like, be careful, save your money. Especially if you go to America, work hard, you know, be careful. Nope, and then, you know, we just had that. And then after the pandemic and, like, Gen Z are just, like, living life, they're like, no, I won't. I will take a break. I can say I should take a break.
Yeah. There's definitely an element of, like, for me anyway, I'm big on just like, you know, like lean into it. And like, that's the thing is there was, well, I know Mum always is kind of saying that there was, she feels that in her generation, there was a bit like, be cautious. Like she had done like a degree in accountancy and like really didn't like, was too afraid to kind of leave Ireland. So like did, you know, stayed and trained as an accountant and has found her way to this. So it was like, you know, happy story in the end. But like for me, like I realized that I'm like the global brand director for a brand at 21. But, you know, people actually take you seriously because I feel like our generation's very like, well, like there's, you know, teenagers who have like full empires. So
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Whereas a 10-year-old who has like a YouTube like empire.
Yeah, and it's like probably running like some element of the stocks market. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely, I feel like there was a pecking order.
Yeah.
And I feel like it maybe doesn't apply to us anymore. Yeah. We're just very like,
Really quickly before you go, tell us a bit about the Irish dancing world.
Oh my God, sorry. The Irish dancing world. I was an Irish dancer, and do you know what? I started so late. I started when I was like 10 or 12. But I was an Irish dancer right up until my leaving cert. Like, won the Leinsters, was going on to the All-Irelands, and I was like very serious about it. I had like a PT, I like trained every single day, I had like loads of, I'd like, was a class like three times a week, competitions like all on the weekends. Would get up in the morning, like do my stretches, do my skipping, come home, do all my dancing before schoolwork. And I was like, you know, like school was really important to me then, like as time went on. So it's kind of funny looking back because I'm like, whoa, the determination.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, I like kind of let it go just for college and stuff. And it's one of those things, like, you're so fit when you're doing it, it's really hard to just pick it back up as a hobby. But no, it's just one of those things that, like, it's so unique. It's such a beautiful art form. It genuinely is a sport. Like, people who be lying to me it's not a sport, I'm like, I'm training twice as hard. Oh my
dancing
God.
Dancing is a sport.
It's such a sport. Like, and Irish dancing is just so, you know, you have a soft shoe component, you have a hard shoe component. So there's kind of like the grace element and like a really rhythmic, like, and people know this because, like, I think Riverdance did a lot in terms of like educating people about Irish dancing. But the competition side of it is so crazy because, you know, you've got like wigs and you've got your dresses and like the makeup and tan.
I understand. Okay. Okay. The tan is for the lighting.
Tan is for the lighting and makeup's for the lighting.
And makeup's for the lighting. And then the dresses are very Celtic, so I understand.
Super
that.
Celtic, yeah. Just
why the wigs?
The wigs?
I never understood the wigs.
Yeah, and they're that's everybody's question. And my mum used to always be like, because like I've red hair. Another reason I'm like portfolio, I'm like a walking ad over here. But yeah, so you know, my mum would always be like, God, like I gave you the red hair and all, now you're covering it up with a wig. And my wig was like red hair, but I think it really kind of stems from the fact that girls always had to have their hair curled, which used to involve like sleeping in curlers and different things.
Oh, so it was just easier.
Do you know what? Even though they're sore and they're heavy, but it was easier than like sleeping in curlers. And you know, you could wear, by the time I was finishing, I was wearing what they called a bun wig, which was like literally just like kind of a curly bun that you like clipped on the top. Yeah. It does sound mad to people, but one thing I will say is like, it's the way like when actors put on costumes. Yeah. They're like, okay, I'm good to go. Like, when I would put on all the gear, I'd be like, okay, different world.
Yeah.
I can get up on this stage and I can kind of, you know, go and do my
and
bit.
I sent a couple of videos to friends of Riverdance clips and I was like, this is like super hot. And they were like, you're so repressed that you think this is a sexy dance. But I thought some of it, do you know what it is? Because sexy dances nowadays are, and they are sexy, like twerking and like, oh, and like when you see Latin, very passionate and like really, but I think because it's so, they're so separate that when they come together, it's steamier for me.
For me, I'm just like,
it's so suggestive.
It's so suggestive.
It's poetic.
It literally is. And I find that about Irish culture in general. Like, I love, like, the Irish language is so, like, rich. It's so beautiful. Like, Irish dancing's very, that's it. Like, you know, we're all used to, like, twerking and, like, doing whatever. But what I love as well about Ireland and like this whole like fresh Irish thing is it's almost like even when I'm talking about it, I feel like I start whispering a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it is almost
have
just
a cool
this, like,
swan while we look at each other but don't tell each other our feelings.
Exactly.
And we'll have like a good distance between us.
And we'll sip on this like really, like everyday little luxury and just, you know, we'll like watch a little bit of Riverdance and go to the Dead Rabbit and attend That's Deadly. And yeah, but it's just very like, it's, I don't know what it is. It like literally that's what it is. It's like a sexy version of Ireland these days, you know. It's not like neck and back Guinnesses anymore. It's a glass of cool swan and
no
a bit
more
of Guinness dance and,
I think I'm very much even in like shows and when I'm trying to write my own pilot, I'm always like, I like the absence of dialogue, you know. I like what's not said, and I think that's very Irish.
Yes.
A lot of us is we're able to talk with our eyes. You know, especially with Irish people,
you're just
the look and
true.
Or the facial expression. You can just say a couple of words that means like even the way my dad would be talking to my uncle and he'd be like, yeah, sure, look. And he'd be like, oh, you know how it is. They've said like a whole paragraph in those two sentences.
That is actually, and you know what? I'd never articulated that before. And that is so unbelievably true. And I love being over here, like, working with fellow Irish people, because it's so fun. I could, like, literally come into the bar and I'm just, like, eyeball, like, someone, yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, so it's, like, single malt Irish whiskey, white Belgian chocolate and cream. And then they just, like, I don't know, they just, yeah. like, absorb, like, a full pitch out of yeah, that. It's just, like, yes. by the way of, like, looking at each other, we just kind of yeah. communicate. It's, like, it's that Seamus Heaney line of, like, the gleaning the unsaid off the palpable. And I'm always like, that is what it feels like to talk
Wait,
to an
it's
Irish.
What? Cleaning the...
Gleaning the unsaid off the palpable.
Oh, my God, I love that.
That, to me, is talking to Irish people. Well, you don't need words.
Tommy Tiernan had a bit about how he said he says fuck a lot, but it's because he's speaking in a foreign tongue and it doesn't... The English language doesn't get to let him express himself.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was thinking about this already, a different okay. version of this, but then I saw this recently when I was just looking up. I was looking up Irish comics because I thought of a different bit and I thought yeah. there's no way no one could have thought about that before, so I was having like a binge on
okay.
like, but anyway, I haven't found it yet, so I think I'm the first person to think of this certain joke, but okay. We'll see. But but what I had been thinking about already before I saw this was how I think, this is my theory, that generational trauma or whatever is the reason why Irish people aren't good at communicating, because yeah. when the Irish learned English, they learned it from Irish.
Yes.
And yeah. Irish has another tense in it and that we can't use in the English language. So yeah. we're not able to effectively express ourselves because literally the English words don't, that's why all the slang yeah. and then they don't, and then Irish had so many, they had like words for like excited and some like mixed in.
Yes.
Like sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to express myself, but I don't have the word.
I don't
for
have
it.
The word. Yeah. And I'm, because I live in a Gaeltacht, like me and my sister oh, speak wow. Irish to each other. And I actually think about that so often when I'm like saying something to them and I end up saying it in Irish, because I'm like, wait, I can't express this same thing. And yeah. that's so interesting about the different tense.
Yeah.
Because that's probably like one of the places it comes from.
It's a tense that the only other people in America that speak it are actually Black people, because it's an AAV, African American vernacular, AAV.
Oh my God. Yeah, and it's like a font of all knowledge. I'm coming out yeah. of here, I'm like, I've got it all.
It's just because of TikTok, but there's a Black guy on TikTok and he was learning Irish okay. and he was like, I've never heard of this tense before. And he was like, so it's an Irish, but I think what happened was it's probably when the Irish immigrants
yeah.
and were obviously closely, because they were, you know, on the
yeah.
they're, you know, they'd come over to America, they're probably hanging out with Black people a lot more
yeah.
so that they could have learned English via Irish speakers,
yeah,
or part of it. So
yeah.
that might have been where it came from, or it's just a coincidence.
Yeah,
but it's the only other like that tense.
That
What's tense. That tense called again?
Are we talking about the Mokini? Yeah, because yeah. I was gonna say, because you can't.
It's
you
the one that's
like
to
it would yeah.
be doing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh my
What's
God.
What's
no,
the be doing?
Because
then there's a Mokini left as well. What's
I used
that?
To like literally give. I was gonna say, because Mokini look they have in like French and all, because it's like, oh, like. Like I would be, you know, but no, I know exactly what you're talking about. You were talking about the Serbreaker, I think.
Oh yeah, so
where
you'd be like, where it's like I do be is more like
yeah.
I do be watching movies every night, but doesn't mean I'm watching a movie every night.
Yes.
It's like my essence.
Yeah, it's like
yeah.
oh, what is it? Because I used to teach Irish grands like when I was in. I think it's like. Richter, like would that be it? Like Gael Gooers
anyway,
are going
to
be like, girl,
I
you're
need
disgracing
to look
this,
up this guy. There's going to be a list of TikToks for this.
But we'll put it all below. Crash
before,
course.
Before yes. you go, quickly, will you say something yes. in Irish for the listeners, for the American listeners, or
Kincha.
non-Irish? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Kincha. Rithni Rodis Anandum. August Vichy. Kujas kind of a Laritath in you.
I love it. Kujas. Yeah.
Slongish. Slongiful.
And so, what would you like to promote, obviously, Cool yes. Swan? Do you want to promote the Instagram?
Yeah, so go follow Cool Swan on Instagram, obviously. You everyone's like, God, one of the guys in the office was like, hadn't met me because I was over here when he first started working. He was like, I saw this girl popping up again and again on the Instagram. Mm. And anyway, it was you in the end. So yeah. I was like, oh yeah. So you'll also find me on there probably at some stage on the stories. But yeah, Cool Swan on Instagram. Again, family owned, like Irish cream liqueur. And, you know, I'm going around the world developing the brand. So any big wins you see coming across in the British or American markets, you can thank me. No. But yeah, definitely. Grab a bottle, and it's really, we're going to be on a lot of cocktail menus in New York over Christmas. So nice. It's going to be very exciting. Yeah, I'll have to meet you for drinks somewhere.
Definitely. Do you want
the one?
yeah. Do you want to plug your own Instagram or?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, if you want to give me a follow on Ruth Brady with three Y's, because I kind of somebody said to me recently because the tagline's Fresh Irish, and they were like, what is Fresh Irish? And my mum was like, oh, follow Ruth on Instagram. And I'm like, I don't want to be like the, you know, spearhead for that. But I think like, you know, anybody kind of our age is like probably kind of promoting that like New Age Ireland. So if you want to know what that's all about and stuff, yeah, definitely give it a follow.
Brilliant. Yeah. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, just thank you so much for having me. Me and Katie like literally met for coffee like a few weeks ago. You were like, do you want to come on the pod? And I was like, yes, I do. I'm going to have the chat.
No, such a great guest. And then for the listeners, if you want to see the video, this will be on Patreon. I will get back to putting the videos on YouTube. It's just going to be like a month behind to encourage people to go to the Patreon. Patreon is /theshiftpodcast. Pay what you like. And obviously the episodes go up there early. And then, you had mentioned That's Deadly, which is the Dead Rabbit comedy show. It's kind of exciting because next month, we will have some Irish comics flying in. So before I post this, I'll just do a little exit and fill you in on all of that and all the details. But on that, okay, love yous, bye.
Mwah, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.